Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner, and today I'm joined by Hashibai.
Oh, I just did this a while ago, but I'm going to do this again.
Perfect. Today we've got a very special tip of the week, and to show you that, we've got our guest here, Michael Bluen. Michael, would you like to tell people about yourself?
Hi, my name is Michael Bluen. I'm actually a summer intern here at Microsoft, and I hail from the University of Alberta in Edmonton in Canada.
Neighbor to the north.
Yes.
Fantastic. What are you going to show us today?
I'm here to talk to you a little bit about Kubernetes. And so Kubernetes is an open source piece of software that was started by Google a couple months ago. And about a month ago now, Microsoft announced that we were adding Azure support to it. So when the hackathon rolled around a few weeks ago, we decided, well, why don't we play around with this? And sure. So we did.
So before you kind of get into that, can you tell me, like, what does that mean? What does Azure support for Kubernetes mean?
So Kubernetes itself is a cluster management system for a technology called Docker. Docker allows you to package applications into what they call containers, and then you can run arbitrary applications on the same server, and they don't conflict over resources and that sort of thing. So it's really nice for when you have a whole bunch of really light workloads that you want to host, and you don't really want to concern yourself with where you want to put it or having VMs specifically dedicated to that. So Kubernetes allows you to manage that at a cluster level.
So it's almost like this sandboxing solution for your applications.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. Well, let's see what you got.
So for the hackathon, we built a very simple web app. It's backed by a Node.js server. And all it does is communicate to Kubernetes and allow you to create what they call pods. Now, when we had initially started with the hackathon, we were trying to figure out what can we do that's kind of interesting and that shows the power of Kubernetes running on Azure. And we decided that the best way to do that would be to let you visualize it, because it's kind of hard to get your head around. So this is the simple web GUI that we spun up. And it lets you simply specify a name for your pod. So I'll be super creative here and just call this the first pod. And then it lets you specify a number of pods. So I'll just create 3, and then you click the Create button, and there you go. So what's happening right now is that these pods are being spun up, and we've got a small cluster set up, and I'll show you what that looks like. So you've got a master node in Kubernetes, and this is a Kubernetes concept, and this is what you talk to when you want pods or stuff like that spun up. And this master node communicates with a whole bunch of minions. In our case, we've got 4 running right now in Azure. And these minions are what run your actual services. So if we go back and look at the demo, you'll see that we've got 3 minions. And each of these minions has a spinning box that indicates that that container is being brought up on that minion.
So in this case, the master, also the minions, they are Azure virtual machines.
They are, yes.
And when you deploy pods, I guess those are the Kubernetes concept of cluster members, or?
Yes.
Okay.
So a pod is a logical grouping of Docker containers.
Okay.
And what it lets you do is, say you have a multi-tier web application, and you've got an Nginx server, and then maybe a Redis cache layer, and a database. What the pod lets you do is say, I want to have an Nginx server and the cache. I want those to be really close to each other. Put them on the same machine for me so that when they talk between themselves, it's really fast, right? Whereas I don't really care where the database is because I'm not always going to the database. Mm-hmm. So a pod lets you do that.
Okay, great.
Can I also think pod as a scaling unit that you can scale your tiers related containers?
Absolutely. So Kubernetes has this concept of a replication controller. Mm-hmm. Now, a replication controller lets you specify a template for your pod. So you could say, I want you to be running Nginx in this pod. And then it allows you to specify the number of copies that you would want running in your data center at any given time. So you could have said, well, take this pod template and make sure I always have 3 of them running. And what that does is it makes sure that, say, a process crashes, say, a whole VM goes down, the replication controller is always watching, and it's going to say, if a VM goes down, it's going to say, I need another one of those. So it'll create another one for you. So yes, you can have that kind of replication that just handles scaling issues and stuff like that. And it would also take care of if you have an instance that's not supposed to be there. Say you process got orphaned or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So the Kubernetes handles failovers and, I guess, load balancing as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So in Kubernetes, what you do is we're typically used to scenarios where you set up a load balancer for your server. So you've got multiple instances of your web application running, and you've got the load balancer, and it sends requests to all of those different instances. Well, Kubernetes can do that internally, and it calls this a service. So you would set something up like an Nginx service, and an Nginx container, sorry, and this service would distribute the traffic between all of those instances.
So when will the support be, you know, available? When can somebody start playing with this?
Well, you can actually start right now. So on the Google Cloud Platform GitHub page, there's the Kubernetes repo is already public. It's in beta right now. And then Microsoft is just in the process of adding the Azure support. So what that means is Kubernetes provides you with a number of scripts that just make it easy to set up a cluster.
Okay.
So you could say, I want a master and 10 minions. I want 20 minions, mm-hmm. however many. And the scripts handle setting all of that up in your cloud provider of choice. So you could be using Azure. You could be using Vagrant. It's really up to you.
Sure.
OK, so now we're ready. And that took a couple of minutes to spin up, which is kind of slow for the cloud world. So let's spin up a few more. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to pull up this little source editor that we've got here. And this is the configuration that we're using behind the scenes to create an Nginx pod. And so I'm just going to tell it that we're going to need a container running Nginx. And port 1337 is pretty leet. And we'll give this a unique name. And maybe we want four of these. And then I'll just click Create here. And so what's going to happen is it's going to pull these up. But the first time, it actually had to go and download Ubuntu images and Nginx images from Docker directly. And that takes quite a while. Mm-hmm. And so as you can see here, we've already had one of these pods come up. And the other three are going to come up much faster. So what this means is if you've got an application, it's probably always going to be based on Nginx and Redis. And that's not going to change very much. Your application code is going to change. So in your typical use case, this is going to be really nice and fast and let you scale really easily and adjust your application sizes as you see fit.
Awesome. Well, and you can see they're already done.
Yeah, and that was really nice and quick.
Great. Well,
yeah, this is great. This means your application can fail over faster, can scale up and down faster. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
Very cool.
And it also helps you manage all of the resources that you have running. So.
Great stuff. Well, thanks for coming on today and showing us this. It's really, really cool to see.
Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Hashi. Everybody out there, make sure to follow us at the Cloud Cover Show, and have a great day.